Hello and welcome everyone to the Council of Elrond. Today we have a very special episode as we are taking part in Tolkien Reading Day along with many other fantastic Tolkien content creators and YouTubers. Tolkien Reading Day is celebrated every year on March 25th, the day that Frodo destroyed the One Ring. And on this day, the Tolkien community promotes the writings of J.R.R. Tolkien. And this year, we're also trying to raise awareness and support for the brilliant Save the Children charity. This year, the theme for all the videos is love and friendship in Tolkien's writings. And so to honor that, Dave and I are going to give one or two of our own personal favorite moments in Tolkien's works. So Dave and I were speaking about what to do for this topic, and we decided that it would be cool to go away on our own and think of a couple of examples of love and friendship from Tolkien's books and not tell each other until now. So I've no idea what his example is going to be and vice versa. So let's hope we haven't picked the same ones, although that would kind of be a cool coincidence as well. So anyway, let's get into it. Dave, would you like to begin? Which example did you go for?
Okay, yeah, I went for an example that is probably familiar to most book readers, but may not be very familiar to casual moviegoers. So I wanted to quickly talk about Gimli and Éomer's short arc that we see maybe half of in the movie, or maybe just the first third of in the films. Mm-hmm. So this little story concerns both love and friendship. So when they first meet, Gimli insults Éomer. He says, Give me your name, horse master, and I'll give you mine. And Éomer responds. How does he respond?
He says, I would cut off your head, dwarf, if it stood but a little higher from the ground, or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, pretty damn close.
Something like that, but probably exactly that.
Something like that, but no, it's completely wrong. I think he adds a couple of extra words in the book. It's like, I will cut off your head. No, he says, I'll cut off your head, beard, and feet or something. Oh, really? he says beard anyway, so he's threatened to give him a shave.
I will
shave.
Pull out your toenails, dwarf.
Now, in the book, just before this exchange, Éomer mentions that there is a lady in the Golden Wood and how few have escaped her nets. I think in the film, he kind of talks about Gandalf in that kind of way. But anyways, he's talking about Galadriel. And we all know how much Gimli idolizes or perhaps even loves Galadriel. And Gimli responds with, quote, you speak evil of that which is fair beyond the reach of your thought, and only little wit can excuse you. Now, that was a pretty good dig and a bit of an insult. And obviously, Aragorn steps in. He's like, lads, take it easy. Calm down.
Chill.
Don't get your knickers in a twist. calm the beards. But later, at the Battle of Helm's Deep, a particularly cool part of the book where Aragorn and Éomer are fighting side by side, Éomer is tripped up by two orcs and they jump on him. And I'd just like to read another passage here. But a small dark figure that none had observed sprang out of the shadows and gave a hoarse shout. Baruch Khazad! Baruch Aimenu! An axe swung and swept back. Two orcs fell headless. The rest fled. When all were safe within, Éomer turned. I thank you, Gimli, son of Gloin, he said. I did not know that you were with us in the sortie. But oft the unbidden guest proves the best company. Ooh. I shall not find it easy to repay you.
Class.
Oh, wait, this is a longer quote.
Than all right, okay.
So it goes on to say, there may be many a chance ere the night is over, laughed the dwarf, but I am content. To now I have hewn naught but wood since I left Moria. So this is obviously Gimli's like, I haven't whetted my axe yet, and he's just like delighted to get killing some people.
Yeah.
And this is the exchange as well with Legolas where he's like, Legolas, two already.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's
yeah.
Kind of like where that happens in the book. But sorry, there's more. Éomer accepts Gimli at this point as a loyal and true friend. But in my opinion, it doesn't come until the end of the Return of the King book when Gimli fully accepts Éomer. Because after Aragorn is knighted as king, after his inauguration as king, mm-hmm. Éomer sends for Gimli and says that they still have differences of opinion with the Lady Galadriel in this funny and heartwarming exchange. So one more quote to finish the day.
Cool.
Well, it's a long one. Well, Lord, said Gimli, and what say you now? Alas, said Éomer, I will not say that she is the fairest lady that lives. Then I must go for my axe, said Gimli. But first I will plead this excuse, said Éomer. Had I seen her in other company, I would have said all that you could wish. But now I will put Queen Arwen Evenstar first, and I am ready to do battle on my own part. With any who deny me, shall I call for my sword? Then Gimli bowed. "Nay, you are excused for my part, Lord," he said. "You have chosen the evening, but my love is given to the morning, and my heart forebodes that soon it will pass away forever." So there we have the love of Gimli for Galadriel, and we have the love of Éomer for Arwen, which is kind of weird. But then the friendship rekindled, or kindled for the first time, kindled for the first time between Éomer and Gimli. So I thought it was a nice little...
That's cool.
A little kind of friendship arc that maybe people just don't know about. So, yeah.
No, it is very good. It is very good. I like also that you were saying how Gimli was just saying, "Oh, thank God I finally got to kill people. I've only been chopping down wood with this axe." This poor axe was built for killing people and chopping heads off. Not for chopping down trees.
I haven't killed anyone since Moria. Like, come on.
Man, he must be dying for some blood. Some black blood.
I know, yeah.
Also, I did enjoy your reading of the Coos Dúil. Although when you first started reading it, I thought it was black speech that we were hearing in these. I was like, we haven't heard black speech in these parts since the beginning of time, whatever.
And I haven't heard black speech in this podcast for many a year.
Yeah.
Urshkul, Nashkul.
Yeah. Ishgakwi, Aigru, or whatever it is.
Yeah. No, that's it.
There you go.
Ishgakwi. Egla always says that all the time. She's always saying, Ishkakwi. She remembers it very well. This is Baruch Kazad, Kazad I Menu. It says menu, but I don't want to say I menu because it doesn't sound very Lord of the Ringsy.
That's how the orcs knew that meat was back on the menu. From the
heard it from Gimli.
From Coos Dúil. The dwarven language. Cool.
What did you bring to the
table?
Very
good. Very good. I liked yours. That was very nice.
Thank you.
And I didn't see the unexpected, like, love and friendship as it being like a friendship and then their individual loves for someone else. But that was kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a triangle. I know. Once it started to make shape, I was like, this is perfect for Tolkien reading.
Perfect. Yeah, there you go. Mm. Very, very good. So, for me, when I first heard this concept, there were a lot of things that sprung to mind immediately, and there's so many different friendships in Lord of the Rings, but I think possibly the very first thought that I had was the relationship that the hobbits have with one another, and then I had a very, like, defining light bulb moment when I was like, I know exactly which one's gonna be, because something really stood out in my head, which is from the beginning of the Lord of the Rings, and I'm sure you probably remember it. It's when the hobbits all go for a bath. Together, and it's a fantastically described sequence, and this example that I'd like to talk about from comes from a chapter called A Conspiracy Unmasked from the Fellowship of the Ring book. And to set the scene, Frodo is planning to leave the Shire on his quest, and he's, so as not to raise suspicion, he's told the people of Hobbiton that he's moving to another area called Crick Hollow to settle down, and he's being helped with the move by his hobbit friends, the three hobbits that we know, and another one called Fatty Bulger. And so basically, Merry and Fatty have traveled off in a cart, and they're bringing all of Frodo's possessions to the house. And Frodo, Sam, and Pippin are walking to that location. But it's like a three-day walk, so they have this big, long sequence of walking. And in the meantime, Merry and Fatty are setting up the house to make it feel homely. So... this part I'd like to talk about is just after Frodo, Pippin and Sam have arrived after the long walk from Hobbiton to Buckland, or specifically to Crick Hollow. So I'm reading here from my old tattered version.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's all like got all my notes and things. It's completely like falling apart, but exactly. Anyway, I'm reading here. The travelers hung up their cloaks and piled their packs on the floor. Merry led them down the passage and threw open a door at the far end. Firelight came out and a puff of steam. "A bath!" cried Pippin. "Oh, blessed Merry Eddoch!" "In which order shall we go in?" said Frodo. "Eldest first or quickest first?" "You'll be last either way, Master Peregrine."
Harsh.
I love that. I love that little, like, quip from Frodo, just like slagging off Pippin. Like, I love those little digs and those little jibes that, like, the hobbits kind of throw at each other from, I think it really tells us a lot about the relationship as well. Like, I don't know about our listeners or our viewers, but in Ireland and in the UK, it's very normal to come out with little remarks like this. And it might seem kind of cruel, but we only do it to the people that, like, you know, you're really close to, and the people that you really love. So.
That you love the most.
Yeah. Exactly. It kind of made me think of how I speak to my own friends at home. You kind of, you have those little sly, little snarky dig remarks and stuff in comments. So I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. So I'll continue here. Trust me to arrange things better than that, said Mary. We can't begin life at Crick Hollow with a quarrel over baths. In that room, there are 3 tubs and a copper full of boiling water. There are also towels, mats, soap, and soap. So get inside and be quick. So basically, they head in and they go for their baths. And then Mary. And Fatty Bulger head off to the kitchen to prepare supper. And then we continue. Snatches of competing songs came from the bathroom, mixed with the sound of splashing and wallowing. The voice of Pippin suddenly lifted up above the others in one of Bilbo's favorite bath songs. Now there's
one of them.
there's a couple of things there that I want to break down. So first of all, the very beginning where it says snatches of competing songs, I just love the idea that they're in there having a little sing off while they're splashing around in the tubs.
It's like a rap battle.
Exactly. Like they're just like singing and someone's like countering their song with another song. They're like, oh, I've got a better one.
Yeah.
And then the second part where it says, Pippin sang one of Bilbo's favorite bath songs. So first of all, again, even that part can be broken down into more detail. One of his favorite bath songs. So Bilbo had various favorite bath songs, which means he probably had some which weren't quite his favorite. So how many bath songs exist in Hobbiton, and how many?
Yeah.
So I think that's a really cool insight into how the hobbits kind of live their lives as well. Like they have bath songs, so they probably have, you know,
baths together quite a lot.
Well, not just that, they probably just have songs for many everyday things, like, you know,
oh yeah,
cleaning the kitchen song, or, you know, here's my frying an egg song or whatever, you know.
My
fishing song, things like that. So
it's my sunny side up song.
Yeah,
sunny
exactly.
Side down,
yeah.
Song.
I know, actually I've got 7 songs for sunny side down, and you know, it's really cool. So, and then also the fact that all the hobbits knew, oh well, that's one of Bilbo's favorites, so they know each other's favorite songs for bath time as well. So again, That's a really like close kind of relationship that they must have, and that kind of friendship that they have. So now, as I turn the page, I'm going to have to give a little bit of a warning or apology, because I'm going to have to sing a little part here, which I'm going to for you, Dave, and see if you can recognize. Well, you will recognize this, I'm sure. But I'm going to give you a couple of verses. So. Sing hey for the bath at close of day that washes the weary mud away. A loon is he that will not sing. A water hot is a noble thing. Sweet is the sound of the falling rain and the brook that leaps from hill to plain. But better than rain or rippling streams is water hot that smokes and steams. So there we go.
Very nice.
Where do you recognize that from?
From the Green Dragon.
Yes, from the Green Dragon. Exactly. Now.
Yeah.
I don't know, the melody of that song. I don't know who created that melody, but this song that was taken from this chapter was kind of, changed a little bit. And I don't know, as I said, I don't know who added the melody, but in the Green Dragon, when they're all there, you know, out on the piss, out having a few drinks, they're singing away and they're up on the table, and it's Merry and Pippin are up on the table singing. And that's a song that they changed and they adapted a little bit, and it's called... It's very similar. Some of the lines, like that, sweet is the sound of the falling rain. They have that line that they sweet is the sound of the pouring rain. They change.
Sweet and is the sound of the pouring rain.
And so they say, in that verse, they say, sweet is the sound of the pouring rain and the stream that falls from hill to plain. Better than rain or rippling brook is a mug of beer inside this took. So they changed that a little bit in the movie. But I think it's cool that they just kind of still pull a little bit from actual Tolkien's original songs. So that was really cool as well. Now, I want to continue just a small little bit more to read. And it says, there was a terrific splash and a shout of whoa from Frodo. It appeared that a lot of Pippin's bath had imitated a fountain and leaped on high. Merry went to the door. What about supper and a beer in the throat? He called. Again, I love that. I'd love to have a bath with my friends.
Throat.
And then somebody say, hey, how's about a beer in the throat? I'm like, that's exactly where I want my beer. And then we continue on, and locks, said Merry, looking in. The stone floor was swimming. You ought to mop all that up before you get anything to eat, Peregrine, he said. Hurry up, or we shan't wait for you. They had supper in the kitchen on a table near the fire. I suppose you three won't want mushrooms again, said Fredegar, without much hope. Yes, we shall, cried Pippin. They're mine, said Frodo, given to me by Mrs. Maggot. Take your greedy hands away, I'll serve them. So I just wanted to read that last part as well, because I think, again... I know that when I'm with some friends and if we're, you know, I have like the best, I don't know, thing to eat, or there's like one more slice of pizza or something, I can say to my friends like, oh, I'm sure you guys don't want that pizza. No, I'll have that. Don't worry. You know, that kind of thing. Like, so just kind of a bit of sarcastic comments there from Fatty Bulger kind of saying, I'm sure you guys don't want any more mushrooms, where we know that hobbits are like obsessed with mushrooms, that they could eat, you know, a ridiculous amount, like the Olympus Bread's amount of mushrooms. So I thought that was
enough.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I don't know. I think that's just that whole little sequence kind of sprung to mind when I first thought of friendship in Lord of the Rings. And the hobbits like singing together, kind of making fun of each other and just not taking things too seriously either. And the way they kind of just, you know, make fun of Pippin all the time because he's the youngest. And they're like, ah, Pippin, come on. We might not wait for you. You better hurry up. Yeah, the most foolish. A fool of a two.
Yeah, I mean, like any scene with hobbits in it could be used as one of the friendship scenes that we could have done in this podcast or this video today, because they're such a great bunch of lads, and especially class when they're in the Shire, like they have so many good interactions with each other. So yeah, I loved it hearing back.
Pippin. it's class. And then I think in the movies as well, I think they're just they're really brought to life perfectly by the actors, and I think that they did a really fantastic job. So again, obviously we could easily have spoken about the friendship and love between Sam and Frodo, but I thought that this one of just hobbits in general, the way that they have their friendships and the little insight into their bad time songs and things like that, I thought that was a cool little thing to focus on for today's video. So yeah, that's
very
it.
Very good.
That's all for today's episode.
Short,
guys.
And sweet.
Yeah.
Fool of a Took.
So thank you all so much for listening to this Tolkien Reading Day special. We hope you enjoyed it, and we are still new to YouTube, so please gently caress that subscribe button for more content like this. This video was made in collaboration with some of our and probably your favorite Tolkien YouTubers, so please check out all the other videos on the playlist that are part of this larger celebration in the description below or on the video end screen. So thanks again, guys. And remember, if you want to find more content like this, just speak friend and enter. See you next time, guys.
Bye, guys.